ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते
ज्ञानचिन्मंदस्य चंजनाशलाकाय चक्षुर्विदितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मायं ददाति स्वयं पदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुं श्रीयुतपदाकमलं श्रीगुरुं श्रीवैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं सहग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथं वितन्तं सजीवं साद्वैतं साद्भूतं परिजनसहितं श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यदेवं राधाकृष्णपदां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखां सजीवं पञ्चकल्पतरुभयश्च कृपा सिन्धुरेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवे नमो नमः नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदाय ते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौर से नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्त कंचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदवनेश्वरी ब्रजभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि ते एवरीबॉडी टुगेदर जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर सुप्रसाद गौर भक्तवृंद
हरे कृष्णा
कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। मटेरियल वॉल मटेरियल इंस्ट्रूमेंट
Yes.
Okay, we're going to read today from Canto 6, Chapter 9, Verse 53, 54, and 55. So we're going to read the first verse together. It's the appearance of the demon Vritasur. Dadyaham Atharvasnas स्वस्ते वर्मा भेद्यं मत आत्मकं विश्वरूपाय यत् प्रादत् त्वस्तः यत् त्वं अधारस् तथा दध्यान् अथर्वणस्तत् सत् विश्वरूपाय यत्राद
विश्वरूपाय यत्प्रादर्स्तथा तदायानथर्वस्नस्त्वस्ते
वर्मा वेदं मदात्मकम् विश्वरूपाय यत्प्रादाय त्वस्ता यत्त्वम् अधस्ततः तदायन च अथर्वणस्
The
son of Atharva.
The son of Atharva.
Tvastre.
Tvastre.
Onto Tvastaha.
Onto Tvastaha.
Varma.
Varma.
The protective covering known as Narayana Kavacha.
Avedaham.
Invincible.
Invincible.
Mad-atmakam,
Mad-atmakam,
consisting of myself,
consisting of myself,
Vishwarupa,
Vishwarupa,
onto Vishwarup,
onto Vishwarup,
yat,
yat,
which,
pradad,
pradad, delivered, tvasta, tvastaha,
yat,
yat,
which,
swam,
you,
you,
adhar,
adhar,
received,
tatha,
tatha,
from him. So, translation for Śrīla Prabhupāda. Śrīla
Prabhupāda ki jaya.
Tadāyam invincible protective covering known as the Narayan Kavacha was given to Dvastha, who delivered it to his son Vishwarupa, from whom you have received it. Because of this Narayan Kavacha, Sadachi's body is now very strong. You should therefore beg him for his body. So I'm going to read the next two verses and then we're going to go back and then go through it again.
Yusma bhayam yachito ashabhivayam dharma jo agnihi dasyati tathastahi ayudha srestayo vishwakarma vinurmita yena vritta sriyo hatra matteja upamitaha.
Translation. When the Ashwanik Kumars beg for the Indra's body on your behalf, he will surely give it because of affection. Do not doubt this, for the Indra is very experienced in religious understanding. When the Indra awards you his body, Vishwakarma will prepare a thunderbolt from his body. This thunderbolt will certainly kill Vishwarupa because it will be invested with my power. The last verse of this chapter. Tasmin vinihate yuyam tejo ashrayudha samprada bhuyaha karyas yatha bhavadan vibho nahim santi chamat prana. Translation. When Vishwarupa is killed because of his mutual strength, you will regain your strength, weapons and wealth. Thus there will be all good fortune for all of you. Although Vishwarupa can destroy all the three worlds, do not fear that he will harm you. He is also a devotee and will never be envious of you. So I'm going to go through the purport a little bit later. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to go a couple of verses to verse 51. Which is basically gives you an idea, it's an overview of what we have. How many of you attended classes for the last 2 days? Okay, so this is a revision for you, and for others it will be the first time. O Madhvan, so this is Vishnu speaking to Indra. O Madhvan Indra, all good fortune unto you. I advise you to approach the exalted saint Danja Tadichi. He has become very accomplished in knowledge, vows and austerity, and his body is very strong. Go ask him for his body without delay. So what has happened so far is just an overview. So there's 4 chapters in here which basically talks about Vishwarupa, and the essence of that chapter is basically verse, I think, 23, 24, 25 and 26 in the chapter 10, I think, next chapter. Right, so the whole 4 chapters has been picked to basically describe those. Those are the chaturves that Vishwarupa will be speaking on, and I'll be going through them briefly. So to come to that point, what had basically happened previously is that Indra got puffed up. And when Varaspati went to his, what is that place where they call, where they were heading, you know, in Indralok, you know. So, Indradevta, right, Bhagavan Indra, did not receive his spiritual master nicely. So he committed an offense. And to teach him a lesson, Varaspati left that place, and when Indra realized what he had done, so he went to his master's place. But Varaspati, knowing everything, he left that place before him, so he disappeared. Now, because he committed offenses at the lotus feet of a pure devotee and his spiritual master, the result was that he lost everything. So he lost his all opulence, he lost his Indralok to the demons. So the demons took over. Now, what he did was then he went to Brahma and said, Brahma, this is the situation, how can you help me? So Brahma said, okay, you go to this person, his name is Vishwarupa. He is very learned, right? And he will help you out. Even though he will favor the demons a bit, because one of his parents of Vishwarupa was from the demonic side, right? He had three heads. So while he was doing all the deed of the puja and everything, whatever yajna was to be done, you know, and he gave Indradevta the Narayana Kavaj. So by getting that Narayana Kavaj, Indra became so powerful that he was able to regain his kingdom. So he became the king of Swarglok again. So because now he has accepted him as guru, so he was doing yajna and things like that. Now Vishwarupa had three heads, right? With two heads, he was doing the yajna on behalf of the demigods. And with one head, he was offering it to the demon side. And when Indra found about this, right, what did he do? He cut all the heads. Now he made a mistake, right? If he really wanted to do, he should have chopped the head that was being offering to the demons, right? But he chopped all the heads, right? So what this did? He committed apradh. So now he has committed apradh twice, right? He committed offense to his spiritual master, the Brahaspati, and now he has committed, not only committed, he has killed his spiritual master, Vishwarupa. Right, so you know that he got sin. So for 1 year, he basically, you know, suffered the consequence of it. You know, and then he divided the rest of the sin among four people. And who were those four people? Trees, land, water, and women. So those were the four people he distributed. And there was some boon to come with it, but they also got some of the reactions to that. Then after that, his Vishwarupa's father, right? What's his name? So he got very upset because he killed his son. So he did the yajna now, right? So in the yajna, what he wanted was to increase the enemy of Indra. But he chanted the mantras wrong. And in the process, a demon appeared. Now, is it right to say he was a demon? Or can we say he was in a body of a demon, in a devotee in a body of a demon, right? So Vishwarupa appeared and he was very big and he was very powerful, right? And he defeated the demigods again, right? And there was nobody who could stand in front of him. So now we have come to the point where the demigods have gone, not to Brahma this time, but to Lord Vishnu. And they are praying to him. And Lord Vishnu is advising him what to do. So he said, oh, what fortune do I advise you to approach the exalted saint Dadichi. He has become very accomplished in knowledge, vows and austerity, and his body is very strong. Go and ask him for body without delay. So they are asking Dadichi for his body. So next verse, 52. The saintly Tadayan, who is also known as Dadichi, personally assimilated the spiritual science and then delivered it to the Ashwini Kumars. It is said that then Tadaya gave their mantras through the head of a horse. Therefore, the mantras are called Ashvasira. After obtaining the mantras of spiritual science from Dadichi, the Ashwini Kumar became Jivan Mukta, liberated even in this life. So this is the verse that was spoken yesterday. So what basically happens is that now the Ashwini Kumaras come into the picture. So what has happened was once that Dadichi was doing his first therapy and everything, and Ashwini Kumaras wanted to get spiritual knowledge. So they went to Dadichi and said, Dadichi, can you give me, impart this knowledge, you know. But Indra didn't like this, right? Indra didn't want, he said, Ashwini Kumaras, what is the position in the Swarmalo? The doctors, the physicians, right? He said, you should stay there, you know, they are treated lower, and Indra didn't want somebody. See, this is even a devotee, you know, such an exalted position. Somebody has done 100 asmo yadiyaks, you know, how much effort, how much money, you know, and still he is envious, you know. So, when the Ashwini Kumaras went to the Dichi, he was busy with something and he said, okay, you come back later on. Now, when Indra understood what these two are doing, so what he did? Immediately went to the Dichi and says, okay, what's happening? He said, oh, Ashwini Kumar came. Why? They wanted some knowledge. He said, no, don't give them any knowledge. If you do that, what am I going to do?
I'll cut off your head.
I'll chop your head off, right? So they went. Ashwini Kumar knew what was going on. So after Indra had left, they went. And the Dichi, we came for the knowledge, you know, that you promised us. And the Dichi said, I promised you, so I'll give you the knowledge. But this is the situation that Indra has said, he's going to chop my head off, you know. So, what do I do? So, these are physicians. He said, don't worry, you know, we got a solution for that. We're going to chop your head off first. And then we're going to replace your head with a horse's head. You know, that's why I said, he got the knowledge from the head of a horse. So, these are physicians. They're perfect, you know. So, they cut his head off and put a head. Horse's head, right? And then they put his original head in the fridge, you know, so it doesn't go off, right? And then they imparted the knowledge, right? So once the knowledge was imparted, then Indra found out. So what did he do? Chop the head off, right? So the horse's head went away, and the Ashwini Kumar put his original head back, right? Everything back to knowledge. Horse got his own head, right? His body was preserved. The Dichi got his head back, Indra lost out, Ashwini Kumar went. So now, the situation is that Indra is being asked to go to the Dichi, you know, somebody whose head he chopped, you know. So this is, so the good thing is that, you can see that Indra does go. So he's listening to what Vishnu is telling him. Right? Just same as Arjuna, you know. He didn't want to kill anybody, but Krishna told him to fight, so he fought. Now, Indra killed Dadichi, right, or chopped his head off, right? He had no special bonding with him, right? But look at Arjuna's position, you know. He was killing his grandfather, his sons, his uncles, you know. All those people who were so close to Pitama, you know, all those people. So he was so close to them. But this is what the pure devotee does. Krishna won't ask me and you to do like that, you know, probably you, but definitely not me, you know, because I'm not qualified to do that. So he chooses his special devotees to do that. So this is what basically happened so far. So he's been asked to death, and so the question here is that, you know, Indra asked, why him? You know? Why the Dichi? You know what my situation is, why him, right? So Krishna, Vishnu is replying, you know, because he has assimilated the spiritual sons that is delivered to Ashwini Kumaras, right? And then Ashwini Kumar, and it is said that the Dichi gave them mantras through the head of the horse, therefore the mantras are called Ashira Sira. After learning the mantras of soul chants from the Dichi, Ashwini Kumar became Jivan Mukta. You know. So this is, you know, basically the Narasingha Kavacha, you know. And then we can liberate it in this life. So now we come to the verse we are talking about, right? And Krishna, Vishnu explains, you know, the Dichi is invincible, protective covering known as the Narayana Kavacha has given to Prastha. And who is Prastha? He was Vishwarupa's father. So Vishwarupa then gave it to
Indra.
Indra, right? And this was delivered to his son Vishwarupa, and from whom you got it. Because of this, Narayan Kavacha, that is which is very strong now. You should therefore beg him for his body. So, the next question is, in the next verse we are coming in, then it basically, I chopped his head off, you know. Why would he give it to me, you know? Right? It's a good question, right? And I don't deserve any favors from him, right? So he says, the way to do it is that if you take Ashwini Kumaras with you, Ashwini Kumaras are his disciples. So you put the disciples first, right? And then the Diji won't hesitate, he'll give it to you. Now this is not the first time Indra has done that. Do you remember another time he did that? Yes?
After the Govardhan Leela,
he took the cow Surabhi, remember? He put Surabhi in front because Krishna was so attached to the cows. So this is very diplomatic, you know. That's what he had to be to become a prince of the heaven, you know. So he usually give it to him because of affection. Affection because of they are his disciples. Do not doubt this. For he is very experienced in religious and understanding. When Dhanvantara awards you his body, Vishwakarma will prepare a thunderbolt from his bones. This thunderbolt will certainly kill Vishwarupa because it will increase invested with my power. So why is it invested with his power? Because of the Narayana Kavacha, right? So usually we don't value the bones much, right? We don't want to touch it, right? We think it is in achuta, you know, right? It's impure. But here we are talking about a pure devotee's bones, you know. So next verse, which is the last one. So Vishnu says, when Vishwarupa is killed because of our spiritual strength, he will regain your strength, weapons and work. Thus you will be all good fortune for you. So what does it mean by you gonna regain your weapons and work? So when they were fighting in the beginning, they were throwing everything at Vishwarupa, and what did Vishwarupa did? He ate all the weapons as well. And he even ate Indra. So Indra was able to get out by cutting his stomach out and came out, but all the weapons were still in there, you know. It doesn't mean it got digestible, something like when we eat food, they were still there, you know. So when he said, when you kill him, then you're going to get all your weapons and you're going to get your kingdom back. So that's where we are. Although Vishwarupa can destroy all the three oars, do not fear, for he will not harm you. He's also a devotee and will never be envious of you. So now Krishna, Vishnu, Krishna, he is so used to saying Krishna, it's hard to say Vishnu even, you know. He gonna say, releases the main thing that Vishwarupa is not an ordinary person, he is a devotee he's devotee. So now I'm gonna read the paper, then we're gonna go through as we go through. A devotee of the Lord is never envious of anyone. What to speak of other devotees? As revealed later, Vishwarupa was also a devotee. Therefore, he was not expected to be envious of the demigods. Indeed, of his own accord, he would try to benefit the demigods. A devotee does not hesitate to give up his own body for a better cause. Chanakya Pandit said, Sa nimite varnam tyago vishana vinase aryate sati. After all one's material possession, including his body, will be destroyed in due course of time. Therefore, if the body and other possession can be utilized for a better cause, a devotee never hesitates to give up even his own body. Because Lord Vishnu wanted to save the demigod, Vishwarupa even thought, even though able to swallow the three oars, would agree to be killed by the demigods. For a devotee, there is no difference between living and dying, because in this life A devotee is engaged in devotional service, and after giving of his body, he is engaged in the same service in the spiritual world. His devotional service never ended. So, what, this is the main quality of Vishwarupa. This is what we are going to be talking about today. It basically tells the quality of a devotee, you know. And when they're going to come to in the next chapter, in the beginning, when they're going to go to the Dichi and ask for his body, you know. In the beginning, he's going to pretend that he will say things like that, you know. How can you ask for my body, you know? It is the most precious thing one has, you know. Doesn't matter what the situation is. Like if there's a fire here or whatever, you know, you might have children. The first thing you do is try to protect yourself. You'll run, then you'll probably come and save others, right? That's the nature, because, and what, to what extent do we go to look after this body, right? This doctor, you know, we go here, we do this, we eat the right food, we starve ourselves, just to make sure this body is right. And this is how attached we are. And this is what he said, how can you ask? He said, even if Vishnu comes and asks somebody for their body, even though the body was given by Vishnu, what will they say? No. Right? And how can you come and ask me for this body? And then in the end he said, no, I'm just playing with you because I wanted to have some spiritual knowledge. I wanted to have that talk with you. So, but don't worry, I'm prepared to give my body now. And then this is what basically happens. Vishwakarma makes a vajra, thunderbolt. That thunderbolt had 100 blades in it, right? And that's how it was. You know. So the difference between, we've got two devotees now here, right? One is Vitrasur and the other one is Indra, right? But there's two different qualities in there. What does Indra want? He wants the heavenly planet back. And what does Vishwarupa want?
Vitrasur.
He wants to be killed. One wants to be killed and the other one wants the heavenly planet. And then the later one, it will be explained very nicely, you know. In chapter 11, verse 24. So these are the four slokas I'm going to be talking about. This is the essence of the whole thing, you know. Oh my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what is happening is here is that Vishwarupa, Vitrasur, right? Vitrasur is trying to, they were fighting, right? And he said, you kill me or I will kill you. So he took the tilsul and was ready to hit him, right? And what did Indra do? He chopped his right hand with the tilsul, everything, right? So now Vitrasur had only one hand, right? And he's still fighting. And with his left hand, he smashed the elephant's head, right? Is what's his name? Airavat, right? And there's a big, on the forehead, there's a big scar, right? But they said Indra's hand has nectar, so by putting his hand over his head, the elephant recovered now. Then he threw his club, right? And what did? It's very powerful, right? It's Indra's club, right? But what does Vitrasur does? He grabs it. And now Indra has doubt, you know, right? He said, if I throw the thunderbolt, you know, at him, what if gets it, holds of it again and then hits me and that will finish me off, right? And then he's also listening that he's not an ordinary person, he's a devotee, right? But Vitrasur wants him to kill him because he says, no, I want to get out of this demonic body so I can actually take shelter of the devotees, right? So, and he's trying to get him to kill and he's not doing anything, you know. Then he starts praying to Lord Krishna. And this is what his prayers is, right? So after trying his best for Indra to kill him, now he's praying. Oh my Lord, O Personality of Godhead, Will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? Right, so this is the essence of it. We have to look for this servant of the seventh. Right? Das Anu, Das Nida. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even has said, right? So what we have to do is find a spiritual master. Right? Because this is the essence of devotional service. This verse explains what devotional service is. Devotional service doesn't mean that we're gonna go directly to Krishna. It means that we have to go through a pure devotee, right? Oh my Lord, may I again become the servant of, so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes. My words will glorify those attributes, and my body always engaged in the loving service of your Lordship. So he's praying for three things: his mind, his body, and his words to be completely engaged in the service of the Lord. Right? Now, who takes this vow? We always hear about this, you know, to engage your mind in the words, body, mind, and words completely. Who does this? Who are these three things associated with? Sannyasis, isn't that right? So, sannyas does not mean that you have a danda. Sannyas is a mentality. Right? This is why Prabhupada said, some of my grihasthas are better than the sannyasis. You know, those who are carrying dandas in their hand. Right? It is a mentality where your mind should be completely devoted to Krishna, your words and your body. With your body, you serve the Lord, just like we are doing. You do aarti, I'm speaking, you know, through that, right? You know, this is, I'm using my physical body to do service to the Lord, right? Mind, you should be always thinking of the Lord, how you can serve that, right? And the words is like preaching today. So these are the three things. It's a mentality, it's not something that you, and we should all get to that. That is the essence of everything, right? So the first thing is that we have to become servant of the devotee. That's the first requirement. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu verses that he also shows by his own example that the living entity should always desire to be a servant of the seven of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. And what was the verse that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always used to chant? Gopi Bhartu Padakamla Das Nidas Anudas. This means that one must accept a spiritual master who comes in the disciplic succession and is a servant of the Lord. Under his direction, one must then engage one's three properties, namely his body, mind and words. That's how we should do it. We should not try to do it on our own. We should try to do it under a pure devotee of Krishna. The body should be engaged in physical activities under the order of the master. The mind should think of Krishna all the time. And one's word should be engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord. Right, as we said. If one is thus engaged in the loving service of the Lord, one's life is successful. So this is what we have to do. This is what we should actually try to get to. Next verse says, so he's praying again, right? Oh my Lord, source of all opportunities. The first verse was saying, my Lord, this is what I want to do. Right? I want to take shelter of a pure devotee. I want to actually use my mind, word and body in your service. Now what he's saying, the next verse is saying, these are the things I don't want. Right? So what are the things he doesn't want? Oh my Lord, source of all opportunities. I do not desire to enjoy Dhruvaloka. Right? The heavenly planets or the planets where Lord Brahma resides. Nor do I want the supreme ruler of all earthly planets or the lower planet system. So he says basically rejected everything. He rejected everything that Indra desires. See, this is the difference between a pure devotee and a sakam devotee. Demigods are sakam devotees, you know. I was just reading a quote by Radha Govinda Maharaj this morning before I came, and I was reading about it. And Radha Govinda Maharaj said, you know, You ask me this question, I'll answer this question differently today. You know, last time you asked me that. The question was, what if you want to ask something from Krishna? Right? So, who is your father? Okay. If you go and ask your father, give me $100. Right? And your father knows you, right? That you, it's okay for you. Are you a beggar?
No.
No. Why not? Because it's your right to go and ask from whatever you want from your father. Does that make sense? It's your birthright. He's my father, I'm going to ask him. Now you come and ask me for $1. Would you be classified as a beggar? Yes. Because there's a different relationship. So, Krishna is our supreme father. We can ask him for anything. Right? Now when you ask him for $100, whether he gives it to you or not, doesn't give it to you, that's up to him. Right? So we can ask Krishna for anything and he's the only one we should ask. Why go and ask demigods?
That's right.
Asking demigods is like being a beggar. Asking Krishna is your birthright. Make sense? So you can ask him anything, but be careful, he might not give everything. So this is, he says, I don't want any of this. I do not desire to be the master of the powers of mystic yoga. So he doesn't even want any material enjoyment, you know, swarga loka, you know, brahma loka. He doesn't even want any of those mystic powers. Nor do I want liberation if I have to give up your lotus feet. So he even doesn't want liberation if he can't have the lotus feet of Krishna. So this is the mood of a devotee, right? All I want is the shelter of the devotees, of your devotees. If I have that, then everything is perfect now. I was listening to a class from His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj, you know, and he was saying that the mood we should be is, you know, that we belong to our Guru. At the time of initiation, we have given ourselves, we have surrendered unto him. This body doesn't belong to us. We don't belong to his. We are his. And we should do whatever, he said, whatever you do in your life, you should always think you are doing it for your spiritual master. Even taking a bath, taking sleep, going to work, you should go with this mood, you know. I was always thinking, you know, how can we be Krishna conscious, you know. And then when I listened to this, I said, if I have this mood, that whatever I'm doing it for my spiritual master, then life becomes perfect. Does it make sense? Otherwise, you know, when you're doing it, thinking you're doing it for yourself, you know. Then whatever you have, you know, you look after your family, then you see that, okay, I'm building the, you know, families, whoever I'm doing, it is for Krishna's. That's what, you know. What does the Guru Maharaj wants, you know? He wants just like, this movement is all about compassion. Isn't that right? Prabhupada left at the age of 69 to go to the West to preach. Why? Because of fools like me. He wanted to save people like it. It was out of his compassion. He didn't have to, you know. At that time, people go to Vrindavan to actually do their sadhana. But Prabhupada left. He sacrificed everything. You know, he suffered so much. You know, how in the beginning, it wasn't easy for him, you know. Krishna put through him everything, you know. He had heart attacks, everything, you know. And he was alone. Everything was stolen from him. And the people who were looking after him, you know, who he was associating, they were drunkards, the lowest of the lowest. But Prabhupada went there out of his compassion. And today, the whole movement is there, you know. Millions and millions of people have been saved and will be saved. These books that Prabhupada had written, you know, waking up at 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, if you don't read it, what's the point, you know? If you really love Prabhupada, read his books. Because that's where you get the knowledge, you know. And I'm telling you, knowledge becomes realized knowledge. You keep reading it, you keep, you know, thinking about it, you know. It becomes. A pure devotee desires only to engage in the loving service of the Lord, in the constant association of the Lord and his eternal associated state in the previous verse. Das Amudas. As confirmed by Narottam Das Thakur, Tadainaya Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanevas Janme Janme Hoye. Right? To save the Lord, And the seventh of his seven is in the association of devotees, is the only objective of a pure and real devotees. So that's what we desire, should desire for. We should not worry about this material stuff and everything. Yesterday we were talking about somebody has just gone through separation or is going through separation, a divorce, you know. So we are talking about, say, why do we have to go through, you know, both our devotees and things like that, you know. But we have karmas, you know. We have desires, right? And then the next thing that came up was, if we are devotees, at the time of initiation, they said everything is finished. So how come we are still suffering? So what's the answer to that? Okay, so your hand was supposed to be chopped, now you just got a prick, you know, right? That's, yeah, it gets reduced. But the other reason is that it's like when the fan is going on, right? You turn it off, power off. What does it happen? It still goes on, right? But the other reason is that suppose somebody is born blind, right? And the age of 20, he becomes a devotee. So if Krishna takes your karma away, what will happen? Not us, he loses his whole body. Because the whole body is suffering, right? This body is if we lose this body, how are we going to do service? So everything else is destroyed, right? But you still get some of that you are going to go through this body. Because if you already got a body, you know, suppose you are born in a poor family, you can't change that, right? Instead of being born in a Brahmin family, if you are born in a Sudra family, you can't change that, right? So that's going to stay there, right? But everything will be minimized. And then Krishna will put you through things like that. Because you need two things to go back to Godhead. Which are? Louder?
We need to be purified.
Okay, purified?
Mercy and our endeavor.
Our endeavor. So what I was looking for, one you need is attachment, right, to Krishna, and the other you need detachment from this material world. So all these things that we go through is for our own detachment. So it has to come to the point where Krishna, I have had enough of this life, you know. I don't want to do this. I don't want to get married again. I don't want to have children. I don't want anything to do this material world. And then at the same time, you have attraction for the world. Now if you have only one of them, what happens? Suppose you said, I don't want to do anything with this material world, but you don't have attachment for Krishna. What happens? You become a, you go to, you basically it's a Mayavadi philosophy. You go to Brahma Jyoti. But if you have both, then you get out of this material world and you go to Krishna Loka and you don't come back. Right? So we also have to finish all our desires here. Those are the two very important Nikolas. Right? So in the verse, now today is a very special day. It's a special festival going in. What is it called?
Panihati.
So the next verse is what I wanted to talk today about. Right, so this was just a preliminary to what I wanted to speak, right? And it's about Raghunath Das Goswami and Nityananda, right? So the third verse, so first verse was what he wanted, second verse was what he didn't want. What is the third verse about? His longing, the greed, how desperate he is, right? So I'll read this, and then we're going to go back to this and talk about Panihati on that. So he says, O lotus-eyed Lord, as a baby bird that have not yet developed their wings, always look for their mother to retain and feed them. Right? So he's saying, this is how I want to attain you. How? Just like a baby bird who has no wings, right? See, all these things are very easy to understand if you have lived in the villages. Because most of the examples that are given comes from the village background. Right? If you live in the city, you know, people haven't seen how a chick is actually comes in a nest. They have never seen it because it's not here. But if you're in the village, you'll see that they're in a nest, and when the mother comes, they start making noise, they just want to open their mouth and to be fed them. Then he gives the next one. It's a small calf tied with ropes, awaits anxiously the time for milking, when they will be allowed to drink the milk of their mother. So the second one is, now in the village, right, if you have cows, the little calf is born, what do the first thing they do? Put a rope around the neck, right? And they tie it to a post. Right? They can't go and drink milk all the time. And the mother has to leave the calf there, even though she doesn't want to go and feed herself, because if she doesn't feed, then she won't have the milk to feed the baby. So even though she doesn't want to do it, she still does it, right? And the third one, as a morose wife whose husband is away from home always longs for him to retain and satisfy her in all respects, I also yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. So these are the three things he says. So why three things? One on one. So when he first said the first thing, right, this is my concoction, right? The way I understood it, right? So first thing was about this bird without wings, you know, they're still, you know, they're just like no feathers, nothing, you know, I don't know whether I've seen them or not. And they're stuck in a small nest like this, right? And they can't even walk outside, they have to be very careful. If they fall off, that's it, you know. The mother, the bird cannot pick them, and that's it, basically, they're dead. So they're stuck there, you know. And the mother is away most of the time. The parents are away most of the time looking for bugs and things like that so they can feed them, right? So they're alone, right? And if there's a wind there, you know, and the leaves move, they think the parents are back, then they start opening their mind and they're making all this noise, you know. And then they go quiet, like so quiet, you know, because they're scared, you know, they can be eaten, you know. And if owl makes the sound, what do they screech or something, right? They get more scared, you know, because the owl has nothing to do. So they're stuck like that. But what does the little bird, you know, the chick is looking for? The only thing that chick is looking for is food. Apart from that, there is no relationship. Mother comes, put the food in the mouth, he eats it, they fly off. As soon as they've got the wings, they can look for the food themselves. What do? They go there on their own. They don't stay together. So he was thinking, this is not right. This example is not very good. It's like that of a Mayavadi, you know. I want something, but I don't want to give anything in return. I want a guru, and once I get a guru, I go there, I put my head, put my feet on his head and walk over and then kick him away. Right? So this is not right. Then he gave another example, that of a little calf and the mother. And the calf is looking for the milk. He said, the first one was external. Right, he was just looking for the next one is internal, but there's a little bit of love there, right? Because the mother loves it, leaves the calf, you know, the calf nuts with the mother. But again, the relationship is that the calf is only interested in the milk, right? Little bit of love there, and then when they grow up, they go on their way. He said, this is also not right, you know. And this reminded me of the demigods, you know. Does that make sense? Because they ask for things, they get it, and they forget about it, you know. Like Indra, you know. How many times one has to learn a lesson, you know? Krishna defeated him during Govardhan Leela. And then when he went to get the Parijata flowers, right? What did he do? Big fight. You know? How can he not learn that he is Krishna, everything belongs to him, right? So it's just like this, okay, I use you and then I abuse you completely, you know. But the third one, he said, okay, that's not even good enough. So what's the third one? Third one is talking about a chaste wife, you know. Now this is again in the village, you know. This thing does not make a lot of sense in our modern day life right now. We are husband and wife, most of the time, both of them work, they come. So wife is not waiting for the husband at home, you know. This is the scenario in a village, right? Parents are there, right? Four children, four sons. Each of them are married. Each of them have kids. They're all staying together. Isn't that right?
One house.
Everyone is together. Now I was listening to Bhakti Vidya Purni Maharaj, and he was saying, how they can do that in India, and why three people can't stay in the same house, or even two people can't stay in the same house in the West?
Adjustment. Adjustment.
Lack of tolerance.
What he was saying is, now again, perfect examples, if you're in the village, you'll see that. You see lakes, right? Still water, right? Been there. And when we are kids, we throw stones in that, right? And when you throw a stone, what happens?
Ripples
create, right? So they will keep going. Not one ripples, many ripples goes like that, right? Do any of those ripples meet? Because they're circular, right? They're all going at the same speed, in the same direction, away from the thing, right? Now, you throw another stone in a different place. What happens then? They collide, right? So in India, what happens is that whoever is the oldest person in the family, they are the center. They decide what's happening. Isn't that right? The four children are there, they still listen to the mother or their father. Right? And because there is one center, now if you throw one stone in one place, and then you throw another stone in the same place, the ripples will they collide? Because they're all going at the same time. So this is why, if we can make in our life, your Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, Krishna, the center, then everything becomes perfect. Right? But if you all try to, if you have your own plan, and the wife has their own plan, the son has their own plan, then it doesn't work. So this is what basically it means. A pure devotee always yearns for the association of the personality of Godhead and render service unto him. So that's, he only desires to engage in the loving service of the Lord. So that's what he wants, So, does that make sense? Right, now let's go to the next verse. Oh my Lord, my Master, I am wandering throughout this material world as a result of my figurative activities. So, first one was what he wanted, second one was what he did want, third was what he longed to, right? I want to be. Then he's thinking, I'm more qualified, Right? And he's saying, I've been wandering in this material world for so long, I'm suffering, So now he's basically become humble and he's begging, Therefore, I simply seek friendship in the association of pious and enlightened devotees. So he's thinking, I'm not qualified to go and save him, Just leave me among your devotees, Please, at least do that, I'm not qualified, My attachment to my body, wife, children and home is continuing by the spell of your external energy. But I wish to be attached to them no longer. So he said, please Krishna, I'm attached to this material world, The house, the wife, the children, Please take that attachment away from me. Make me attached to your devotees, He's not even asking to make me attached to your lotus feet. Make me attached to your devotees, Let my mind, my consciousness and everything I have be attached only to you. So that is what is begging me. So, we are talking about longing, and today is Panihati day, So I thought I'll speak a little bit about it. And I want to talk about Raghunath Das Goswami's desire, his longing to take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So first time he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Advaita Acharya's place. And there, see this is the beauty about, Raghunath Das is not an ordinary person, as I was telling before, you know. We don't take, Krishna doesn't take an ordinary person to teach us, you know. It has to be somebody exemplary for us to learn from God. So he is in Krishna Lila. Who is he? Raghunath Das Goswami. He is Rati Manjari, right? And Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari. So when Radha is doming, now this Manjaris are basically maidservant of Radha Rani. So when Radha Rani is walking, she's going there, for example, she's going from Varshana to Nandagram. You know how they walk? One side is Lalita Sakhi, the other side is Vishakha Sakhi, right? Rupa Manjari is at the back and Rati Manjari is in the front. Right? That's how they walk, that's how they protect Radha Rani. And sometimes Krishna tricks them, he knows them, you know. So once they were going to Nandagram, you know, bit of a sidetrack, you know. They were going to Nandagram and Krishna was there. So there's two ways, you know, those who know, there's a back way and the front way. The front way is longer way, it's a better way, but the back road is shorter way. And Lalita Devi tells Radha Rani, which way we go? So there in the junction, you can go this way or you can go the shortcut, but there's some dangers on there. She says, if you take the shortcut, you know, there is a black man there, you know, he can give us trouble, you know. And the long way is safer, you know. And Radha Rani says, I'm not scared of anybody, you know, we'll take the shortcut. Right? So Krishna knows, you know, their internal desire is they want to meet Krishna. Externally, they try to show, you know, that they're not interested in him. You know? So they go, they see Krishna is milking the cows there, you know. And same thing, Lalita Vishakha on the side, Rati Manjari in front, and Rupa Manjari at the back. So Krishna wants to get to Radha Rani. So what he does is, he has a little calf, you know. So when they come close by, he taps the calf, and the calf runs towards them, right? As soon as they run towards them, everybody runs in their own direction. So Radha Rani gets isolated, and then Krishna goes and grabs her, you know. And but then Lalita realizes what happens, he comes in and chastises Krishna, you know. And this is better than the hymns, the Vedic hymns that the Brahmins chant, you know. You know what he was saying, what was Lalita saying? You rascals, you know, how can you do this, you know? Radha Rani has just taken a shower, she has piwa, you know, she's clean, she's going to cook, you know, for Lord Vishnu so he can offer for, you know, Shodamaya Zan. You now have contaminated her, you know. You didn't even have a shower this morning, you know, he's coming and milking the cow. This is what they do, you know. They go and milk the cow and then later on Krishna goes back in his shower, you know. But Krishna achieved whatever he wanted. So this is Rati Manjari, you know. This is how intimate he is. And now in Krishna Lila, in Gauri Lila, when he was little, he got association of whom? Haridas Thakur. So Haridas Thakur is a pure devotee of Krishna, right? So by his association, what happened? He had this desire to go and meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he came from a very rich family. His opulence was equal to that of Indradev. I was just reading somewhere, it says, I don't know in what period, his father used to collect 2 million gold coins, of which 75% was supposed to be given to the king, and 500,000 rupees, half billion gold coins. Let's say even if it's a year, at that time, how much richness money was there. And only son, Raghunath Das, no desire, right? They get him married to the most beautiful woman, you know. He has no desire. Every time he's trying to run away from home. And his father employs 11 guards to make sure he doesn't run. So when they run, they grab him, you know. Then he goes and meets Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Advaita Acharya's place. And what is the instruction that Advaita Acharya gives? Anyone? The instruction is that internally you should be completely detached, and you should be completely attached to me, to my lotus feet. But externally, you should walk just like you are a big materialistic person. Right? So internally, it's like an example is given of a woman who has a lover. Right? So all the time she's thinking about her lover. But she's looking after the husband and the mother-in-laws and everybody so nicely that nobody is suspicious at all right now. So she does more than what an ordinary woman would do, just to make sure that nobody knows what is in the heart. So she said, this is how you should actually do that. So Narottam Das goes back and he acts like that. And then his parents says, oh, my son has changed, you know, he's very good, you know, he can look after everything. Because they wanted to give him everything. There was no one else, he was the only one, right? So, and Krishna said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, when the time will be right, Krishna will give you the inspiration to actually come to it. Now, in the first part of what we were discussing with what Vitrasuru was saying is that we have to accept a pure devotee and follow him. So here, Narottam Das, Raghunath Das Goswami wants to achieve Krishna directly. But Krishna is saying, that's not the right way. So he's trying to teach us the lesson. So what does he do? You have to accept a spiritual master. Who is the original spiritual master?
Nitai
Gauranga, Balaram, is that right? So he has to go through him. So Nityananda is at Panihati. He's sitting under a tree on a rock. And Raghunath Das Goswami goes there. So he goes there, he sees Nityananda and he pays his dandavat from far away. You know. And one of the seven says, look, you know, Raghunath Das is there. You know. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Nityananda Prabhu says, Raghunath, come here. You know. And Raghunath doesn't want to go to him. You know. And then forcibly pulls him right and puts his feet on his head. So this is the second time. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did it and now Nityananda Prabhu did it. And he said, you are a thief. You are trying to get my mercy right from far away. You know, you have to be punished. And he said, your punishment is there to give Dahichida to everybody. Right? So he gave how it has to be done and the big festival was done. And yesterday, by mercy of Jayapataka Maharaj, 50,000 people got fed at that place. Very, very. So, Jayapataka Maharaj is an eternal servant of Nityananda Prabhu, you know. So, his pastimes is very special to him, you know. And even he has introduced the same festival here, you know. In a smaller scale, we celebrate it on Stam Yatra Day, on Boxing Day. You know. So, 50,000 people got fed there. The actual day is today, so I'm probably going to continue today, and more people are going to come. So, Raghunath Das Goswami sent his people to buy stuff, you know. So, in India, it's different, you know. Whenever there's a party going on, you know, you don't have to invite people, people just come, right? So here people started coming and then people, other people heard, oh, there's a festival going on, we can actually sell that. They brought bananas and cheap rice, yogurt, milk, condensed milk, they all brought it there. And he had so much money wasn't an issue, right? And I was listening to Prana Prabhu yesterday. So he was in India and somebody said, go and buy rice. So underneath there was rice and he went there, there's like hundreds of bags of rice of different qualities, you know. And you know, we only know about basmati rice here, you know, everybody wants to eat basmati rice here. So he goes there and he has no idea which rice is good, you know. So he asked the guy, which one should I buy? He said, Prabhu, you can buy whatever one you like, you know. He said, this one is 5 rupees, this one is 10 rupees, this is 50 rupees, this is 100 rupees. Now you choose which one you want, you know. And he said, cheap rice is 2 rupees, you know. So it's low price, it's not the best rice he's talking about. He's not talking about basmati rice or something, you know. It's the lowest quality of rice. And that's what Nityananda Prabhu said, go and get. So what does this mean also? Right? This is how easy it is to please Nityananda, you know. You don't have to give him the best. He, whatever little bit you give, he becomes satisfied. Right? So today is the day that festival actually happened in more than 500 years ago, you know. And then, by the mercy of Nityananda, then Raghunath Das one day was able to escape his parents and then go to
Jagannathpuri.
Right. Where he again? What did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? What did he ask Raghunath Das to do? No, he said, now, because he stayed there for quite a bit of time, right? 12 years or something like that. He said, now you take shelter of Sarup Damodar. Now, who is Sarup Damodar in his Krishna Leela?
Dalila
Sati. Right. So again, same thing, you know. We again take shelter of the devotees. And this is how the Lord is teaching us, you know. We should not say, oh, I want to go and worship Radha, Ballabhadarati, you know. If you are fortunate, you are good, you know. But we always should think that whatever you are doing saving your Guru Maharaj, and your Guru Maharaj is saving. Then, you know, we are always servant of the servant. Gopi Bhartu, Das Tam, Das, Das, and Das. Thik? We'll stop here. Any comments, any questions? Yes, go.
My first question is a comment about Ashwini Kumar. How expert they are. They can cut off the head, put the head on the horse, and then again put back.
Yeah.
So the medical science must be very much advanced in this stage. Cutting off the big vessels, carotid artery, esophagus, trachea, all those things, and then perfusion of blood in the brain.
Yeah.
Because if you just put in the fridge, not enough. And then because you have to put that there. This is something incredible.
Yeah.
With our medical science not good at all. We are so short. My next question is, tell us something about nursing culture.
Nursing kavacha is chanting of some mantras, right, which protects you. Now, in my last class, I said the same thing, you know. What Prabhupada has given us, what is our kavacha, you know? What is our kavacha? That's one. How do you protect yourself? So, every time you take the bath, you should put tilak on your 12 parts of your body, you know. And the mantras we chant, Om Keshwaya Namah, Om Narayana Namah, Om Madhvaya Namah, these are our, that's protects us, you know. Srila Gurudev, His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj Goswami was saying, said every morning, this is said, I have been doing this from the beginning. He said, when I get up, first thing I do is turn on the bed and I chant the mantra of Srila Prabhupada. Right? No, Namo Vishnu Padaya. So you should actually offer your obeisances to Prabhupada, right? Okay. Then he says, I chant the Maha Mantra, Panchatattva Mantra, and Narasimha Mantra. So our kavacha, as far as I can understand, is make sure you have tilak on your body all the time, right? We have this Kanti Mala, and they said anybody who's wearing a Kanti Mala, the young dutas don't touch you, right? But this can break, you know. But the tilak on your body will always stay there. Right, and that will protect you at the time of death. When a normal person dies, they get taken to Yamraj, you know, and then they go to the heavenly planet or the hellish planet, you know. A devotee, because they don't take that, they take the next breath in a spiritual and they keep going like that, you know. So that's our kavacha. And this, the other thing is that, you know, chanting of the Narasimha Dev, you know. Narasimha Dev is the Lord, or form of the Lord, form of Krishna, that he comes and protects his devotees. Exactly what Narasimha Kavacha is, I don't know. But as far as I know, what Prabhupada has given us, he's given the essence of everything, you know. So this should be enough for us, you know. Yes. The question, as far as I understand, is that, you know, Indra committed so many offenses, he lost everything, you know. Still, Lord Vishnu is giving his instructions, you know, and giving his message. Am I right? How do we understand this? Does he do naughty things at home?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Many times he has done that? Over a period of time? Do you still love her? Do you still look after her? You get the answer? So when you love somebody, you know, see, Krishna is Krishna, you know. Your father is your father, you know. Your mother is your mother, you know. So they'll always love us. We make mistake, they'll forgive us. You go to the... Once there was a devotee, even took sannyas, you know. And this is early days. So he would leave the movement and go and then come back and Prabhupada will accept him like that, you know. And he kept on doing like this. He would do gold collection. He started collecting money for himself, you know, on behalf of this God, you know. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, Prabhupada, you know, this guy is not good. We should tell everybody not to give him money or whatever. And Prabhupada said, ah, it's alright, you know. Then one day in Juhu Beach, you know, there, this guy was sitting with another person and he was learning how to put a coin from this ear and take it out of the other ear, you know. So he's trying to be a mystic yogi, right? And Srila Gurudev went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, this is enough, you know. And then, you know, how much we can tolerate this guy? Look at him, you know. And Prabhupada said, you do not understand how merciful Nityananda is. You do not understand how merciful Nityananda is. One who, once you take shelter of his lotus feet, you can do millions of things wrong, he will never let you go. So Indra is a great devotee. He has done so many things right, you know. But he makes his mistake because he has some desires. So Krishna keeps forgiving and he keeps forgiving us. How many times we have taken birth? How many times we have been in the womb of a mother and prayed, you know, how does the soul, you know, a baby in the womb of a mother prays, you know, Krishna, when I come out, I'll become a devotee, you know. Did we do it? So this time, we got Prabhupada. Now, by His mercy, we can finish this. Because if you can walk halfway, Prabhupada will carry you here down. So Nityananda is so merciful, but our Prabhupada is even more merciful. Tick, we finish here now. Sushi Gaunitai ki jai, Sushi Radha Ballava ki jai, Jagannath Baldev Subhadra ki jai, Grantra Ashrama Bhagavatam ki jai, Pancha Kalpataru Bhaisya, Kripa Sindhu Vichar, Pritana Pahamadhu Bhaisya.